suggested.
All right, so yeah, again, I'm Joshua S., and I will be the moderating panel today. To my right, your left is Brent, then we have Kim, then we have Katie, and so I have prepared some questions, and the panelists will just decide who's going to answer, and then later on we will open it up to if folks have questions that they felt weren't addressed or they wanted to hear more, we'll open it up to questions from the fellowship here. So starting out, I'd say that, you know, ACA is unique in some regards. Some ACAs might be confused by the difference between what we call an ACA fellow traveler and a sponsor. You were asked that question by a sponsee, or how would you say, what is the difference? What's the distinction between a fellow traveler and a sponsor?
I would say that if you are going to approach a body of work, such as the yoga, and you really want to get into it, and then you find another person that you've kind of connected with in your meeting, and you decide to go through that, and neither one of you have any experience with this, that's a fellow traveler. Because you're gonna form a special bond there. There's no doubt about that, as you continue through the process. If you're looking for traditional sponsorship, that might mean that to you that I really need someone to kind of lead me through this. And I know that so-and-so has already done this work at least once. Most of the time you'll say, oh, I think they've done it quite a few times. And so I'm gonna kind of lean on them, especially at the beginning, and get started with it. And then I'm gonna feel free to ask my sponsor some questions that maybe I'm not brave enough to ask when I'm in small group, in my normal group each week, and develop that special spiritual bond that takes place, because this is a spiritual program, and its spirituality stands as the central core of it. And that's what you're gonna begin to feel when you engage a sponsor or maybe to a somewhat lesser degree, a fellow traveler, but you're going to form bonds that are lasting and important. The kind that we all desperately wanted in our lives, and we were unable to find them, especially within our families.
Thank you, Bruce. Any of the other panelists want to add to that?
The only thing I can add is that to me, what happens is eventually that sponsee becomes a fellow traveler. After you've worked with somebody for quite a long time, you just develop that closeness, that relationship, and they actually become a sounding board as well as the other fellow travelers that I've had throughout the program. So that's all I would add to them. Mm-hmm.
I guess about the only thing I was thinking too, as far as like the distinction, like a lot of your fellow travelers, yeah, definitely are the people in your kind of your home groups, and can you just talk about usually things in general terms. A sponsor would be more one that you would turn to when you have like a really particular issue you're working through, or something more, you know, detailed, that you can walk through that in the pace that kind of helps you get through it. So, you know, where they're allowed, you know, where they just have that time designated, that time for you to hold that space for you and help kind of guide you through that. And I know for myself, kind of how I approach that, I don't really want to say advice giving, because I don't necessarily give advice, but kind of how I guide, you know, is definitely seeking a higher power's kind of guidance on what to say. I don't necessarily, you know, go at it with any sort of a scripted response. It was just, okay, if I know I'm having a discussion with them, it's just like, okay, higher power, give me the words they need to hear, kind of thing. So that's kind of how I approach guiding my sponsees.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah, I think I appreciate my fellow panel members' input. I think it's great. I guess I focus on keywords and simple concepts. And to me, a fellow traveler is a friend, a peer, and a sponsor is a guide. So you're attracted to something they have, you see them.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, so jumping back here, how and when did you personally determine when you were ready to be a sponsor? And what might you say to those who are considering becoming one but don't feel ready yet?
I'll start on that one. It was just funny because the first person that asked me to be their sponsor, I was terrified, absolutely terrified. I was 6 months into the program. I was on step 6 in the workbook, right? Hadn't gotten through the workbook, and I went to my sponsor and I'm like, what do I do? You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And you know, my sponsor's answer at the time I thought was spot on. She said, obviously this person sees something in you that they want. It might be for one meeting, it might be for a month of meetings, it might be for a year or a step, or it might be a lifetime. But right now they see something in you that they want. And so part of service is just showing up. And that's where I started my sponsorship. So, but I was helped into it. So I'll pass.
Thanks, Kate.
My first experience with sponsoring in ACA was a surprise to me. There was a younger man in my group, and he had more time in the program than I did. And he had attempted to go through that workbook. And he said, you know, I've been through that just a little bit and everything. I'd like to start over. Would you be willing to help me with that? I thought, I haven't done it either. What are you asking me for? There wasn't any workbook or textbook when I started this, you know. So I didn't know what we were going to do, but now we have a tool. And so we went through it. So it's funny because through the whole time, Tony thought he was, you know, I thought he was my sponsor and he thought that I was his sponsor. So that's why when someone would ask me, what's the difference between a sponsor and a fellow traveler? I'm looking at them, I don't know.
I guess for me, I sought out a sponsor probably and so I think that for me, that was something I needed to experience first to be a sponsee before I felt comfortable being a sponsor and to see what that looked like. You know, and so I guess I learned kind of what that looked like from my own experience. And I think one of the things that I learned about that, I know our Red Book kind of alludes to it on chapter 11 about sponsorship stuff, but. And so that as a resource, and then also with my own sponsor, what it helped me to recognize is going into that relationship is starting out setting out what some boundaries and your expectations, you know? And so that was something that was kind of new for me, you know, kind of, you don't usually approach friendships like, okay, what are you expecting out of this? But, you know, a little bit different of a path to kind of put that out there, you know. So it really kind of, yeah, it forced me to kind of look at what am I able and willing to give as far as what are they wanting from me, you know. And so that way you kind of, that's how you kind of decide whether or not it's a good match, rather than just, oh, I like you and so I want you to be my sponsor. It's like, well, what do you want out of it, you know? What are you looking for? What kind of a commitment, you know? And then too, everybody's in a different place, you know. I've got one sponsee who hadn't done the step work yet, and so that was kind of that's what we kind of, our sponsor-sponsor relationship started out was, we need to start it out reading the Red Book page by page, and then we got up to the steps, now let's work through the steps. You know, so that was just kind of, that's how it worked, or how it's evolving for her. But then I have another person who later asked me to be a sponsor, and but she'd already been through the steps, and so my work with her is different, you know, and so it's kind of, you know, just kind of a little bit more of somewhat of a fellow traveler, but she just wanted me to kind of help kind of guide her through other stuff. And so we actually kind of, you know, are now kind of working through the loving parent stuff. So, and then too, the availability, you know, and so then it really helps you to kind of set, like, you know, let's set it up once a week or once a month, you know, it's just kind of, you know, whatever worked for both people. And, you know, and allowing yourself to be, you have to be okay with being available in their time of night too. So, which fellow travelers aren't always going to like call you when they're kind of like, I really need help right now. I just need a vent, or I need to, you know, some run something by you because I feel really stuck, you know, where a sponsee feels a little bit more probably comfortable doing that if they know that you've already agreed to that kind of be that kind of person.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Joined AA, I believe 85, perhaps spring 86, early 86, or late. Yeah, it must have been early 86. What are dates? But my home group, a sponsor was the way you did the steps. And it was AA is very black and white, very simple. I don't need to be waiting in those terms, but compared to ACA. There's a clear problem, there's a clear measure. I've been working your program. And basically, it has a real simple question. If you think you're in control of your drug use or your drinking, go out, experiment, come back. So, sponsorship was key there, and it served a function to work the steps. When I came to ACA, I think that I already valued fellow travelers. I already valued the relationship with other people. I always saw that. And I realized the value of the steps in AA. After a while, I did the steps in ACA. I tried the yellow book right away. It worked well into the third step, and then stalled, which I think is a pretty typical thing. But after I did the steps in a group, I wanted to give that away. So that's when I knew I was ready to be a sponsor in ACA.
Thank you, Bruce.
I want to add one more thing about the sponsor-sponsee relationship. It's about accountability. And when you put yourself out there to be a sponsee, it's making yourself accountable to working your program, because your sponsor usually will ask things of you, homework and that sort of thing, to kind of report back on how did that work for you. So if you're ready for that accountability piece, which, you know, probably struggle with that. but that's kind of a key point to making sure we're progressing forward, is having somebody else to kind of not really answer to, but, you know, to kind of, I guess, kind of work through and kind of process what they're experiencing in an intimate way.
Thank you. So we kind of covered this a little bit, or Kim did in part of her share last question, but for the rest of the panel maybe, and Kim, welcome to chime in. As a sponsor, what format or formats have worked for your meeting times with your sponsees? In person, phone, weekly, monthly, for how long? Do you go by page by page in the yellow workbook, or do you use a different format?
Thank you.
I pretty much have just gone right through the workbooks. That's been kind of the model. I learned that. I learned that in AA. So I would go through the big book, you know, and page for page and through the steps that way. And so I haven't done the red book with my sponsees. I have left that inquiry to them to help prepare them for whatever it is that we will be doing. And but I have followed, I thought, I'm a teacher, so I always thought, you know what, these workbooks are really neat. And I don't think I can improve upon them. So I'm going to go through them as they were made. And I personally feel strongly about in the order that they were published.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. I also go through the yellow book with my sponsees first. And I'm currently traveling through that repairing book. It's new. I would really recommend my sponsees not touch that until they've gone through the yellow book, because it's pretty deep. If none of you, you know, if any of you have kind of thought about diving into that. I think I've been working on that about 14 months already, and only on 14 chapters of 22. So yellow book is my recommendation for people coming in. It's just a nice guide, and I always tell my sponsees it is not meant to be a battering ram for you. Do not beat yourself up with it. And if you start feeling like you're doing that, I want you to slow down. And I personally had to go through the group. Sandy was my facilitator for my first yellow book. And I think that's the only way I would have pushed myself through it, was to get into a group and go through it. But it, you know, it's really, I try and make it something that works for the sponsee. If they want to go through a group, I'm going to support my sponsee and what's going to work for them. So I would encourage them to go through a group. If a one-on-one, page-by-page works better, I'm available for that as well. And as far as time frame goes, it varies. You know, early on, I tend to meet with people a little bit more often. And the longer they're in the program, you know, sometimes we meet, sometimes we don't. It just, you know, it's dependent on what both of us are looking for and need at the time. So, but those workbooks are just incredible, and they're wonderful to work through with other people, whether it be in a group or individual.
Yeah, I guess I did kind of talk a little bit about kind of the way it's been structured for me with my sponsees. When I was a sponsee myself, proximity kept us from meeting in person, but I think my preferred method is in person. And so my current sponsees are with my local group, and so it makes it a lot easier to do that. But definitely can do, you know, phone sponsored talks if that's what works. And I guess usually I allot usually for at least an hour or two, kind of per meeting time. Just because sometimes it takes a little while to really feel comfortable to open up about stuff. And then two, as far as like how often, you know, like I said, I think weekly makes sense. But if that doesn't work, I think too, if it is something where you schedule it weekly, but then it gets pushed back for a couple weeks. I think sometimes it's nice for that sponsee to experience what it's like to come to meet without your sponsor, because then they're like, okay, I do much better if I check in on a weekly basis. You'll let them kind of learn from, kind of experience that, you know, I'm what works better for them. So, because I mean, it's their program, it's not mine, so it's not mine to dictate to them what works. So it's a learning process.
Yeah, I think it. The sponsee-sponsored relationship can take a lot of different forms. It's been said it can be from one meeting to So I have nothing more to add.
I'm gonna kind of roll these next two questions. I'm gonna kind of roll these two questions together. So, like, if you sponsored in other post-up programs, how is the ACA sponsorship relationship different than in those programs? Because the steps are similar across most, the 12 steps are similar across all programs, but do you address specifically, or is it just addressed in the Yellow Workbook, the unique aspects of our program, like reparenting and the inner child and emotional sobriety? So, sort of like, what's unique about doing the steps in ACA in particular?
Those concepts you just mentioned towards the end of your question, those usually aren't covered very well or not at all in AA. Because they're about our relationships and our family, and we're supposed to be focusing on ourselves. And plus, it's a life and death program. So, being addicted is a substance that can kill you. So that you go, you'll have a tendency to go at the sponsee a little harder if you feel that they're slacking, you know, because it's really pretty serious. If people are balking within ACA and stuff, like, I would never use any of those kind of techniques to move them around, you know. We're trying, it's a spiritual program, so we're trying to introduce the concept of higher power, be part of their life and be the center of their existence, and their, not their existence, their life. They've been existing. And so I want them, with that higher power that they're discovering, to take command of their program and lead it and everything. And I want them to take hold of the steering wheel and drive that car. And I'm gonna sit in the passenger seat, and I'm only gonna grab the wheel when I think that it's really going wrong. Wrong thinking is painful. And that happens frequently in Alcoholics Anonymous, but it doesn't happen that often in ACA. But I'm very gentle in comparison. And every mistake I've ever made has been, I think, damn it, Bruce, you were acting like an AA sponsor. You're a little bit too harsh, you know. I know, I did it, you know. And so I'm very gentle. I tried to be anyway. And it has to be something where I think they're going to crash for me to step in and be rather firm. I haven't had to do that very often. And so I see the difference there.
Thank you. I can't speak to the other program. So, but talking about the inner child aspect, this new workbook has really done a lot of educating for me, and I've been able to pass that on for my sponsees. You know, that it really defines the separation between what your inner child is and what your inner teen is and what your critical parent is. And when you were saying, you know, oh, I acted like, you know, you were an AA. That's kind of where my critical parent is, right? If I get a little bit too maybe advicey or judgmental, or I have to realize that that's my critical parent too, and back dial that down a little bit, right? So, you know, it now I have the tools to actually help somebody take a look at who's showing up here. Is it your inner child? Is it your angry inner teenager that's really, you know, fighting you and everybody else? Or, you know, is this your loving parent coming in to say, hey, I got this, right? So I'm really enjoying this new tool that we have, and I've been able to use it, and I find it extremely helpful to be able to delineate all the different pieces, so, or differentiate. That's it.
Been listening to both of them talk, it reminded me, they both alluded to that they're learning about themselves and they're learning from the process as well. And so being a sponsor, you'll learn a lot about yourself just as much as the sponsor is learning about themselves. So it's a win-win, you know, when you're both are working your program. And then too, as far as my role and some of the things that I do, I kind of try to also not have or ask my sponsee to do stuff that I'm not willing to do myself. Like, for instance, my sponsee was struggling with, you know, having a positive attitude every day. And so I'm like, all right, well, you're going to start sending me a gratitude every day to kind of get you on that path of thinking positive. And so not only did I, should she send me a gratitude, I also send her one in return, you know. And so it kind of, you know, goes both ways. I have to also show up in the same way I would like her to show up. Because we both benefit from the process. And the most recent one now is, okay, let's add an affirmation to that. So now it's like, send me a gratitude and an affirmation. So it's one of those things too. Yeah, it's like, and not every sponsor is gonna kind of have those expectations, but that's why I said you gotta have that dialogue at the beginning too, with kind of what your sponsee is looking for and what you're gonna want out of them to see that they're working the program. Some, you know, hardcore ways to prove to me that, yes, I'm showing up every day and I'm doing this for me. And so, not that I'm keeping score, but, you know, if they miss a day, that's like, but then too, it kind of gives me the cue that maybe something's going on. You know, if they're starting to miss sending me gratitudes and affirmations, and I might want to reach out, hi, how are things going, you know, so. So that's just one process or way that I kind of approach it. But yes, I'd also have to agree that working through this Loving Parent book has opened up a new way of dialoguing about what's going on inside, which has been, I think, just fabulous. I'm only up to chapter 18, so still have a little bit to go yet in it. And so I'm excited for every chapter we get through, like, oh, what do we get to do next chapter? Because there's so many new skills. I mean, even after being in the program for 25 years, I just love being able to keep growing and learning new stuff. So,
thanks, Kelsey.
Well, we got a preview of the majority of the questions, so. When I first looked at this question, I reflected on the confrontational nature of AA sponsorship. And then Bruce has really addressed why that is and in a way what that is. But as I've thought about that question, my emphasis has changed. And that's what I'd like to add to the discussion right now. I don't think that the AA sponsor is as kind and gentle as loving as the ACA sponsor. I think it's just a different place. And AA deals much more directly with confronting others' denial. And most ACA groups let you embrace your denial, in fact, and expect you to work through it and open your eyes to things you didn't see before. So that's the way I characterize it. Yeah, they're different, but that I think is why. Thanks.
Thank you, Bruce.
Sorry, that
came
up.
Yeah, so our program mentions, and it was kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, to co-sponsorship is another method. Sponsoring. Do any of you have experience with this form of sponsorship?
Now, do I think it's starting to happen between Brent and me? Yeah. And it's because we have a similar background in that we've helped a lot of people in different ways. Each group groups meet one-on-ones. And then we just, yeah. We weren't sure exactly what we wanted from each other, but I think we're getting it. So I would say yes.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I could
kind of, I guess, reflect on with my own experience as far as what I would consider and define as a co-sponsorship is my, you know, type of relationship, recovery relationship with my sister. My sister also had started in ACA a few years back, and so she's worked, and she's in a different state. So we talk, you know, phone conversations, but it's nice, I think, to have somebody else who's worked through their program and can then, too, you know, just kind of be a back and forth using sounding board. So sometimes she calls me because she needs help, and sometimes I call her because I need help. You know, and so it is. It's just kind of that we serve as that sponsor for each other. You know, so it just kind of, yeah, balances out. But it's nice to have somebody that's going to work the program, and you can talk the talk with them, you know, as far as they understand. You know, when you say inner child, and I'm like, you know, and so they get it. You know, you don't have to like overly explain yourself. You know, they know the struggles, and they know the characteristic traits and things like that. You know, so there's that. So then there's also that, you know, accountability piece too, that they can kind of hold you up to. And just holding space for each other. I mean, I think that's the greatest gift we can give each other. So.
I can think of situations where I would consider a co-sponsor as Bruce. You know, if ever I have a question or I'm struggling with something or, you know, about sponsorship, you know, Bruce, do you have a few minutes? So it's a phone call to a trusted friend that is there to answer or help walk you through those questions that are, and as he said to me one time, he goes, I know you're not going to call me with the easy stuff. You know, but as a sponsor, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers for me. I certainly am not going to have all the answers for my sponsees. And I will readily tell them that, you know. I don't know, let me think about it, or let me, you know, give me a little time to mull it over. Because I sponsor doesn't mean I don't know it all. Even though sometimes I think I might be. I thought I was when I got in the program, but yeah. But I learned different. Anyway, I'll pass.
Are there other ways that you consider you do sponsorship in a non, you know, not like in a traditional one-on-one way, such as leading workbook groups or things like that? I know some, when we talked about this question earlier, like what are some other ways in which you could consider being a sponsor?
I'm going to give you guys the way. Yeah, for me, leading workbook groups is an important way that I take a sponsorship like role. That I'm a guide. And I've done it. And I have a vision of how we're going to get to the end of the workbook. I think that's very, very good. I can't, as an aside, not on sponsorship, I can't say enough about ACA workbooks to realize there's a lot in there for you. I'm saying that because there's a lot in there for me.
I facilitated or co-facilitated one yellow book study group that was quite a long time ago. I'm not opposed to it, it's just not how I proceeded in a long time.
Well, what are some other rewards or ways that sponsoring has helped your own recovery at ACA?
Got a lot of good friends. I learned how to be a human being again. How to be a good friend. How to be in a healthy relationship. How to say I love you to a man or a woman in the program, and it just means that. Doesn't mean anything else. No hidden agendas. No malarkey. That's that's the reason I keep in the program. That's, you know, until I can't figure out what I'm doing in general, I will stay in the program. It's just enriched every part of my life, and it has allowed me to take what I need and leave the rest in religion and all kinds of other endeavors. It's tremendously beneficial, and I never dreamed I would ever be doing anything like this 30 years ago. This is just impossible. What's happening?
I would say it is by far the most humbling thing I've ever done. I probably get more out of it than I could ever give. The trust between a sponsee and a sponsor or a fellow traveler is incredible. To the extent that I have never experienced before in my life. So, you know, if you say you're not ready for it, boy, give it a shot, because you are gonna get so much more out of it. And you know what, hey, if you don't know the answer, it's okay. But take that chance and take that opportunity to open your heart to someone else who asks, or seek them out. Go talk to that newcomer. Go welcome them. Step up and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Here's my phone number. Give me a call. You will never, ever lose in that circumstance. You will learn things that you didn't know about yourself. And I can't tell you how much I love all the people that I work with, and how much they give me is indescribable.
There's I can't remember the saying, but burden shared is half. There's an incredible report. Knowing you help someone.
That was my thoughts exactly. I think one thing I realized I really lacked in my life was having safe people I could turn to. And so to be that for somebody, I should have let people first. Yes, there's emotions coming up. I can sit with that. Become me. That's what I learned. I did this in the today. Good thing I didn't put on makeup before I came. But yes, to be able to have safe people that you can have that raw emotion with, it's just invaluable. And hold space for people.
And one thing that I don't believe anyone has said is that in workbook groups and one-on-one sponsorship, even in your meeting, when you get into the I'll bring it up when it comes into my
life. I think I love how on one-on-one in a sponsorship situation, I could actually practice getting brave about bringing something up when I went to my regular group. And I could then share that in my small group setting. That flew. Nobody ran out of the room. So now I can actually maybe present issue in front of everybody. And so that was, I thought, that's coming right out of going through this material with others. That's that intimacy. It becomes a part of your life that you can actually do it. Speak what's in your heart.
My thought was that I learned more about me every time I do it. When I learn about someone else, sharing my experience and what I learned, I asked and they shared theirs, and I learned something.
What are some of the biggest challenges that have come up for you being an ACA sponsor?
I know for me, I've worked with a gentleman that I just didn't. The challenge was negotiating how I felt about this individual. Encourage all of you that don't ever give yourself away. Never violate your ethics. But similarly, we're not here to beat people up. And we're not here to enforce our morals and ethics. It's also one of the most rewarding relationships I had. But it was really challenging. Did it peacefully, and I did it successfully, so I obviously did it without alienating his friend, and it had a wonderful
result. Not sure yet. I'm still thinking. I can only concur with what you had said, you know, somebody who has a different value system that I don't share, that it's not my place to tell my sponsees how to think or feel or what to believe. It's my space to listen, and if it is something that I can't move forward with, then I need to remove myself from that situation. I think that's one thing we haven't talked about was, you know, if the relationship doesn't work, it's okay to say, you know, I'm gonna ask you to possibly find another person to work with. This is triggering for me, you know, but you have to stay true to yourself. And sometimes as a sponsor, you know, people can kind of push your buttons. you have to figure out if this is a button you can live with being pushed, and it's a lesson that you can learn from. But it also has helped me to reframe and be less judgmental and be more inquisitive about others' positions and thoughts and feelings, and I've learned a lot just by being quiet, but it's just so rewarding, and yet I have had the opportunity, I've had to say no to someone, as it just wasn't going to be a good fit for both of us, so. And that was just staying true to myself.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's been a few times when the sponsee, for some reason, just couldn't stop bringing non-program topics into our discourses. And there was nothing I could do to stop it. Tried to call their attention to the fact that we're not working on the ACA program. We're talking about all kinds of societal things and everything. You keep bringing these things up. Or if you're certainly not ready to engage your family yet, yet you insist on doing it, etc. And it just wasn't working, and I couldn't convince the person to focus on themselves and on their own program and the step they were on. And so I usually encourage them just to stay going to meetings. Don't drop out of the meetings. Keep going. And then say, you don't have to have me in your program. But eventually you'll want to have someone else in your program assisting you. So don't quit, but we don't need to continue together. So, that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare.
I have to say, probably the most challenging thing is just kind of something that just came up for me just recently. And I think it's me having to figure out how and if to address that difference of how much of a priority they hold their program. So for instance, you know, we schedule out the time to meet, but then another day or the day before the meeting, oh well, my boyfriend's gonna come tomorrow, so now can we schedule later? It's like, oh, wait a minute, I already had it on my schedule. I carved out time for you. You know, so it's kind of like almost like, okay, it's a little disrespectful to kind of drop in at the last minute. And how much of a priority is your program? And why did your program take a backseat to now your boyfriend's home, kind of thing? And so these are the thoughts going through my head. I'm not having this conversation with her yet. But kind of walking through my head is, how do I address that, you know, lack, or what appears to be a lack of priority for working the program? And so this is the first time, you know, I guess I shouldn't say the first time, but it's kind of been evolving. And so now it's like just being able to, you know, recognize that that's just not sitting well with me, because I do hold my program as a priority. And so I have to be careful, like, that I'm not imposing my own value onto somebody else. But still, what I need to address is the disrespect, not so much how much they value their program, but just the disrespect of scheduling something in the back of the last minute. I mean, I understand life happens and sometimes we need to cancel, but to me it was not so much just that, not so much a way of not confronting her on that, but just to say, why is it that it seems like he's a more of a priority than your personal recovery? You know, and just putting it back on her to challenge herself with that, you know. So it's just me learning how to address those potential conflicts. So I'd have to say that's probably my thing, is that we, you know, as a sponsor, you might find yourself putting yourself out there more than your sponsee is putting the effort into it. And so, yeah, gotta make it work, like I said. Yeah, has to be a work for both.
Thank you.
We're good. All right. So getting towards the end of the questions here, what wisdom that has yet been unshared or encouragement would you offer to the fellow ACAs listening to us today, considering themselves becoming a sponsor?
Gonna be the Nike commercial. Just do it. That's all I have.
Yeah, if you feel like you kind of stalled out in your learning process, this would be a next step to push you further along in your recovery program.
I take the apprenticeship model. I do that in my yellow book groups. If you've completed the 12 steps, you're now ready to work someone else through.
I take the same. I convey the same message to my sponsor.